Well, let's open our Bibles at John's Gospel, chapter 11, the passage of Scripture that was read to us so powerfully just now. John chapter 11. We'll come to a few verses there in a few moments. The question mark up there is not because I'm not sure what I'm going to speak on, but it's simply to symbolize what are the big questions? What are the questions we're asking? What are the questions people are asking? There are lots of questions doing the rounds today. Who will win the general election? Will Jeremy Clarkson really run for Prime Minister? What are the stakes like in the House of Commons? Will Bournemouth really get into the Premier League? That is the most pressing question so far. But there are also some great questions that have always done the rounds. How do we know anything at all? Is there really a theory of everything? What is good? Are we really free? Is there a God? Where do we come from? What is the meaning of life? Those questions come straight out of one of these yellow books saying philosophy for dummies. But actually, they're not such dumb questions, are they? They're questions that everyone asks every now and again. But the biggest question, surely, that anyone can ever ask is simply this. What happens after you die? Is there life after death? All kinds of people ask this question. Physicians, physicists, psychologists, philosophers. They've all asked it. Nobel Prize winners, anthropologists, theologians, they ask it as well. Royal watchers, fashion followers, computer geeks, gamers, all want to know, is there life after death? Stone Age people, tribal people, digital people, football players, pop stars, film stars, musicians, princes, princesses, all want to know, is there life after death? Wayne Rooney, Cheryl Cole, they all want to know, is life after death? Shop assistants, office workers, students, pupils, teachers, doctors, mums, dads, sons, daughters. All of us at some point ask, what happens after I die? This question, though, was asked probably in its most simplest form by a man called Job. He simply asked this, if someone dies, will they live again? Now, Job lived a few thousand years ago in the Arabian desert. He was the greatest man in the whole of the East. He had such a tremendous reputation for wealth and for wisdom, for God had smiled upon him. But there came a day that Job became really ill, seriously ill. His life was wasting away. He, in fact, became nothing but skin and bones with hardly any strength at all. His breath began to smell. He looked awful. He was covered in sores from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. And people found it actually hard to look at Job. But with his illness, as that spread around, people then began to try and comfort him. And there were three or four people in particular who spent a while traveling to meet him, just to offer him some words of comfort. But when they saw Job, they couldn't say a word. For 7 days and for 7 nights, they couldn't say a single thing because his suffering was so great. Eventually, when they began to talk, and Job spoke to them as well, Job asked this question. If someone dies, will they live again? Job asked it because it was like he was at death's doorstep. But even healthy people ask that question. And every generation since Job has asked the same question. We want to know the answer to this question. We want to know the answer, and every generation asks it simply because we cannot ignore this great fact of life, namely death. It's all right, the sermon's going to get a little cheerier as we go on. But it's the ultimate statistic. One out of one dies. And it won't go away even if we don't want to talk about it. It's well known that the American actor, writer, playwright, director, and comedian Woody Allen once said, "It's not that I'm afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens." Likewise, the controversial English artist Damien Hirst seems to be fascinated with the subject of death, so much so that lots of his art is about that subject, a dead sheep, a dead shark, a dead head. And Damien Hirst once said this, "I'm going to die, but I want to live forever. I can't escape the fact, and I can't let go of the desire." A while ago in Time magazine, there was an interview with the writer and movie director Joss Whedon, having parts or playing directors and writing part of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Avengers, X-Men, Glee, and The Office. And Joss Whedon asked this, "Death is the one universal truth, and our culture is so terrified of it. But we want to know, is there an afterlife? Is there a next world existence?" See, different questions, different answers are given to that one simple question. It's different kinds of answers, such as the atheist answer. They say, no, nothing happens after death. It's just the permanent end of all life. It's the extinction of personality and individuality. That's it. You're dead. You're done for. There's the reincarnationist who speaks about the great wheel of reincarnation, that after you die, you will come back as another person or some other life form, depending on how good or bad you've been in this life. There's kind of a New Age version of that reincarnation that says that after death, we simply transition to another life form, another stage of cosmic consciousness. The actress, singer, and dancer Shirley MacLaine once was supposed to have said that in a previous life she'd been a harem dancer, a Spanish infant wearing diamond earrings, a ballet dancer in Russia, and an Inca youth in Peru. Have death, will travel. The Western comfort view of death, not the Southern comfort view of death, because that's way out there, but the Western comfort view of death is just RIP, rest in peace. You just fall asleep and you wake up in a nice, floaty, atmospherically calm, cotton wool-like environment with some kind of existence somewhere up there, way beyond the blue. So many different theories, so many different views. Who can speak with authority on this question of life after death? Surely someone who's been dead and has come back to life. And the Lord Jesus Christ poses many questions for us, but he also gives many answers as well. Many people celebrate the fact of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem at Christmas time, but many also remember his death and his resurrection at Easter time. We know that Jesus lived for around 33 years. And people celebrate his birth, and we remember his death and his resurrection. But we forget what went on in that time span of those 33 years. Now, for 30 of those years, we know nothing. But for 3 of those years, we know quite a bit. And in 3 years of the life of Jesus, 30 years were total mystery, 3 years were total awe and wonder. He produced miracles, and he did teachings that the world has never, ever forgotten. But very often Jesus combined the two. He did a miracle and he taught God's truth through that miracle. And in John chapter 11, at this place in Bethany, Jesus did that very thing. He produced this miracle and he taught as well. See, we've read about this man Lazarus. He had died after an illness. He had 2 sisters, Mary and Martha. They were obviously so upset, and so were many people along with them as well. And they were weeping, they were crying, they were wailing. Eventually, Jesus Christ reaches Bethany, and he's met by the sister of Lazarus, Martha. And Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." And he assures her, "Your brother will rise again." So Job asked the question thousands of years ago, if someone dies, will they live again? Jesus answered it, "Your brother will live again. According to the Son of God, there is life after death." These really are amazing words from Jesus, considering the situation he was in. He was facing these two sisters who had just lost their brother. He was face to face with death. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he'd been buried for that long. And yet Jesus says, this is not the end. Death is not the final word. The grave does not have the final victory. Lazarus will live again. Now, it's easy to say that, isn't it? And when people are faced with death and they see those who are bereaved, they so often do come out with strange kind of things, strange sayings. And for Jesus to say to Mary and Martha, your brother will live again, it's fairly easy to say. So how do we know he was speaking the truth? Your brother will rise again. Prove it, Jesus. We know that Jesus was speaking the truth for two reasons. First, because he immediately raised Lazarus to life again. See, what happened in Bethany that day was really quite amazing and wonderful. He spoke to Martha when he arrived in Bethany, and they promised her life after death. And then a little while later, he went to the grave of Lazarus, and this is what he did from verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. You know, an inclusion like that, you think, why do the scriptures bother to record something like that? Well, that very inclusion shows us this is a real event. If it was a fairy story of long, long ago, far, far away, you wouldn't have these little details that Martha was afraid that there would be a terrible stink coming from that grave if they took the stone away. This is real. Verse 40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen. And there was a cloth around his face. And then Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The grave can no longer keep its prey. Lazarus, you're free from death. And the dead man rose and walked and lived. Can you imagine being there and seeing that? Must have been awesome. I suppose we could ask the question, what happened to Lazarus after this? Well, we know he became a little bit of a celebrity, way beyond our remit this evening. But in John chapter 12, verse 9, we read that large crowds then went to Bethany to see Lazarus. It's amazing what people will go and see these days, wouldn't it? There's a phenomenon somewhere, and people will drive for miles to go and see what's happened. So with Lazarus, have you heard what's happened? Have you heard what's happened? Lazarus is raised to life again. We've got to go and see this. So crowds actually came to see this first century celebrity. If Hello Magazine was around, he would have been on the front pages, but not in the grave clothes. A real celebrity. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If someone dies, they will live again. I'll prove it, Jesus. Okay. He did. It's the first way we know that Jesus was speaking the truth. He raised Lazarus to life again. The second way we know that he is speaking the truth is because he himself came back to life. Now, the events of April the 3rd and April the 5th of AD 33, and we know the dates. We've been talking about this in this church just this past week. There's a book published by a Cambridge professor. And Cambridge University Press has published this book. And this Cambridge professor, he's looked at the various Jewish calendars. He studied backwards with computer programs and so on, the phases of the moon and the tides and the Jewish festivals. And he's put it all together. April the 3rd, Jesus died. April the 5th, Jesus rose again. You can get it from Cambridge University Press. If it had come from some other kind of area, I'd be doubtful about that. But coming from such a reliable source then makes you think. But it also makes it so meaningful this weekend. For today is April the 5th. Jesus rose from the dead. The death certificate had been issued after Jesus died on Good Friday in a horrific way of crucifixion, dying to take away our sins. And Pontius Pilate, upon asking whether or not Jesus was dead, it was confirmed he was dead, and he was buried in a tomb. But 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Now, in Jerusalem today, there are two possible places for that tomb. I've had the privilege of going to them both. I'm allowed to mention this about 4 times a year here at Hook, because I've been to Israel. Okay. It's not my second time this year, okay? She's got 2 more coming. But for that tomb, the garden tomb, you queue a long time to get into it. I've been in it before, so I knew what to expect. Like, nothing. No one there. So, but I was prepared this time. Had my mobile phone on me. And I just, you don't get long in that tomb. So I thought, what I'd do, I'd create on Twitter, so one of these tweets. And I create this tweet, and then when I was in the tomb, I tweeted. Sure enough, I created the tweet. I'm in the tomb of Jesus. There's no one here. Obviously, he's alive. It's 140 characters about. I went into the tomb, sent it off. Off it went somewhere. I still think I'm the only person in the world that has tweeted from the tomb of Jesus. It's empty. Well, of course it's empty now. But it was empty on that Easter Sunday morning. Remember what we read right at the beginning of the service? Mary went to the tomb. She knew where the tomb was. It wasn't the wrong tomb. She went to the right tomb. And then Jesus appeared to her, called her by name, Mary. And she went back to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She was an eyewitness of his resurrection. Nobody saw Jesus rise from the dead. But hundreds of people afterwards saw him alive. Indeed, over a period of 40 days, at least 500 people saw Jesus alive. And we know some of their names, and we know their addresses. Thomas from Cana, others from Capernaum, one from Magdala. We know them so that people, when these Gospels were written, people could say, was he really alive? They could say, well, go and search out these people because they're still alive. Go and ask them. They are eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. Is there life after death? Yes, we can say with confidence on the scriptures, Lazarus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. If a man dies, will he live again? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. There is life after death. But here's another amazing thing, just as we close. What happened to Jesus will happen to those who believe in Jesus. We so often leave the resurrection 2,000 years ago, but what happened to Jesus will happen to his followers. You see, the model of our resurrection is not Lazarus, but Jesus. Lazarus rose, became a celebrity, died again. Jesus rose, became a worldwide celebrity to this day, and never died again. Those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ will die, but will also one day rise, never to die again, ever. For in that eternal world of joy, it is an unending life in the presence of God. And the body that we will get at that resurrection morning will be imperishable, raised in glory, raised in power, and fitted for supernature. It will be a brand new world, perfect, with no tears, no regrets, no sadness, no death, no harm, no abuse, no physical or emotional problems, a world of peace, purity, and perfect relationships, an eternal world of joy. As someone once said, everything sad will become untrue. In that glorious place where Jesus is now, waiting to receive those who love him and follow him. Job asked, if someone dies, will they live again? Jesus answers, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And then Jesus asked the question to us that he asked to Martha. Do you believe this? Because you believe something about death and afterwards. You believe something about it. What is it that you believe? I present to you this evening, on the authority of God's word, that there is life after death, for Jesus has proved it.